Allow me to read the words of God. It is Psalm chapter 119, verses 121 to 128. I have done what is righteous and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Ensure your servant's well-being. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail, looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your love and teach me your decrees. I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. It is time for you to act, Lord. Your law is being broken. Because I love your commandments more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. Amen. God chose us and called us. Without this grace, we will be living our daily lives as the people in the dark, in the world of darkness. We would have eaten and drank, following the lust of the flesh, watched anything to fulfill the lust of the eyes, and sought after riches and honor to enjoy the pride of life. The reason why God chose and called us is not different from why he chose and called Abraham. It is to deliver justice and righteousness. Before God had Abraham act upon justice and righteousness, God first gave him the covenant and called Abraham righteous. To apply this to us, God's covenant to Abraham is the same as the Bible given to us, the Old and New Testament. When God called Abraham to be righteous, it is the same as how God allowed us to be righteous by believing in Jesus. One that acts upon justice and righteousness is a person who has received the word of covenant and has become righteous. God explained in detail what it means to act justly and righteously. If they give back what they took in pledge for a loan, return what they have stolen. We heard the scripture from Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15 last time, and it instructs us to help the poor and give whatever profit you had unlawfully earned from the locals. Wherever there is injustice, the weak is mistreated and robbed, and there are lies. In Ezekiel chapter 45, God orders those in power to act justly and righteously. Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 9. This is what the sovereign Lord says. You have gone far enough, princes of Israel. Here, you have gone far enough can also be translated as you have taken as much as you needed to. The scripture continues as following. Give up your violence and oppression and do what is just and right. Stop dispossessing my people, declares the sovereign Lord. Getting rid of violence, plunder, and swindling, oppression, is to act justly and righteously. A few days ago, a young man who had just completed his service in the army took his own life because he was harassed. According to the newspaper, the assailants harassed the deceased to pay back the money, threatening and harassing him. Unrighteous people may be asking for a loan. But in reality, since they're not paying back the loan, it is the same as taking it away from them. In the past, rulers of Israel fooled the people, and collected tax. God stated that this is the same as violence, plunder, and swindling. Rulers took in more harvest from the people by using a false weight. God spoke through prophet Ezekiel. You are to use accurate scales, an accurate ephah, and an accurate bath. Ephah and bath are units for solid and volume, referring to 22 liters of basket. To act justly and righteously, one must not gain profit by lying to others. It is stealing what is in another person's hand. Is stealing what is in another person's hands the only form of plunder? Using inaccurate weights to gain more profit is also plundering. Other than using inaccurate weights, working lazily or not working during office hours, or taking benefit in various forms is also not acting justly or righteously. God tells us to stop doing so. According to Luke chapter 19, Jesus was visiting Jericho, which is located about 30 kilometers in the east of Jerusalem, and made eye contact with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and a rich man. At the time, Jesus said, "I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus, who had been treated like a sinner from others, was overly ecstatic when Jesus Christ said that he will stay at his house. So Zacchaeus told Jesus, "I will share half of what I have with the poor. If I have fooled anyone to take their money, then I will repay four times the amount." Zacchaeus could make such a confession because of Jesus, who had come to his home. After Zacchaeus met Jesus of justice and righteousness, he could decide to share what he owned with the poor. His determination was a confession of repentance to discontinue his old improper act and become a new person. If we also met the Lord of justice and righteousness as Zacchaeus did, then we need to ask what kind of acts of justice and righteousness we need to do and act upon them. Ezekiel chapter 18 verses 5 to 9 offers more details on acts of justice and righteousness. Suppose there is a righteous man who does what is just and right. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or look to the idols of Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife or have sexual relations with a woman during his period. He does not oppress anyone, but returns what he took in pledge for a loan. He does not commit robbery, but gives food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. He does not lend to them at interest or take a profit from them. He withholds his hand from doing wrong and judges fairly between two parties. He follows my decrees and faithfully keeps my laws. That man is righteous. He will surely live, declares the sovereign Lord. The the confession of the poet, "I've done what is righteous and just," indicates that he has lived according to the word in Ezekiel, helping the vulnerable, not falling into lust or following secular values, and rather living a holy life. However, even if he lived as so, the poet was facing a crisis of death. Even though he was in a risky situation, since God had told him that if we act righteously and justly, then we will surely live, the poet relies on this word and seeks salvation from God. "I've done what is righteous and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Ensure your servant's well-being. Do not let the arrogant oppress me." The word "ensure" in verse 122 originally means to guarantee. It means to take legal responsibility, even at the expense of self-sacrifice. When Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt, Jacob's family ran out of food in Canaan due to a drought and went to Egypt twice to get food. When the food that Jacob's family had collected from Egypt ran out, they had to go to Egypt again to get food. At the time, Jacob's second son, Simeon, had been held captive in Egypt. So to get food again from Egypt, they had to prove that they are not spies by bringing the youngest, Benjamin. Father Jacob could not readily offer the youngest Benjamin, born from Rachel. However, drought had gotten worse, so they could not endure anymore. If they did not get food from Egypt, then they could starve to death. At a moment of life or death crisis, the fourth son of Jacob, Judah, told his father that he will take Benjamin with his life as collateral. He meant that if something happens to Benjamin, then he will offer his life. Judah set his body as the collateral to ensure that he will surely bring back the youngest Benjamin. Judah's guarantee that he will offer himself to Father Jacob is the same as the word "ensure" in today's scripture. I'm not sure whether there are places that stand guarantee for one's character. When one found a job, then he could only get that job if someone else vouched for their identity. Such a reference is a system to guarantee that the guarantor will bear the benefit of any harm or loss that the employee may incur to the employer during their contract. Nowadays, if someone needs to use the service, they use the Fidelity Guarantee Insurance instead of the reference system. In the past, people ask for a reference when they get a job? Wouldn't it be their father? Who other than their father could easily offer such reference? If the person in need of reference caused harm to the company, then the guarantor had to bear the legal responsibility. So someone other than parents rarely offered such reference. So to offer personal reference, it means that your relationship is that one of trust, as between parents and children, and even if a problem occurs, then they're willing to bear those losses. The poet is asking God for reference. If God is your guarantor, Then who could deny the poet? Who could mistreat this person? The current situation of the poet depicts how he is asking God to not hand him over to assailants, since he is being threatened by those people. The poet's situation is similar to those of refugees today. How worried would refugees be if they had migrated to another country due to political persecution and were waiting for a screening process? If for some reason they were not allowed to enter and were sent back to their home country, then they would be devastated. Wouldn't these refugees ask for mercy to the evaluator? How happy would they be if someone could offer reference? If the Creator God offers reference for me, wouldn't I pass all my job interviews? God's guarantee goes beyond a simple reference letter. God offers total care for that person, even his life. Then, are we persons who have been cross-checked for references? A disciple is a person who has received a reference letter from God. God has called and chosen us, which means that He is the guarantor for us. God has asked us to act justly and righteously, which means God will give reference for us and bless us. The poet who wants God's assurance also avidly seeks God's salvation. Verse 123, my eyes fail looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise. Praying for God to save us from our daily lives when we are weary, and praying for salvation like the poet, so that we can go to heaven, for a sinner to become righteous, are on a different level. The poet had been chosen and called like Abraham, and he had become a person of heaven, made righteous through faith. The poet's prayer is asking for him to be saved from sufferings he will face as he acts justly and righteously on this earth. We also ask God to save us from a tough situation. What we need to pray for is to look for righteous promise. We have to look to the point that our eyes are failing. Verse 124 and 125 are also along the same lines. Deal with your servant according to your love and teach me your decrees. To deal in verse 124 and to do in 121 are the same words. These words may seem as if we are asking God to have mercy on us since we have acted according to God's word. But God chose Abraham and the poet and called us to act justly and righteously. And it was an act of grace, regardless of what we had done. Nevertheless, if we act justly and righteously, God grants us special grace. Will God overlook the pain of those who act justly and righteously? The poet knew such righteous character of God and asked for God's mercy. Mercy, chesed, is God's character. The poet's prayer in verse 124 does not ask for God to save him as straightforwardly as before. By confessing that he is God's servant, the poet confessed that he is God's. The poet wants God's mercy and said, and such mercy does not seek God to get rid of the problem at hand, but rather to teach him the word. As he seeks the righteous promise in verse 123, he wants to learn God's statutes. We can see how much he loves God's word. In verse 125, he also prays, so that I may understand your statutes. When we face a difficult situation, we ask to be taken out of such condition. Doesn't it mean that we want the root cause of the crisis to be gone? If there are assailants against us, like the poet, then we will want them to be gone. If it is not about the assailants and about a financial situation, then we will want someone to give a loan. And if it's about health issues, then we'd want the cancer cells to be gone or the disease to be healed. Like so, we draw our own roadmap and blueprint. However, rather than these things, the poet wanted to learn and know God more. In a crisis, did you want to know and learn God more? In a situation of crisis, did you want to learn and know the word more through the Wednesday Bible study, district Bible study, retreat, Bible study at the church, Sunday services, and morning prayers? Isn't the poet's love for the word amazing? He considered the statutes of God as the mercy of God, and said, which indicates how much he loved God's word. Verse 125 also expresses his love for the word of God. I am your servant. Give me the sermon that I may understand your statutes. Since he is a servant, he wanted to know God's will. If you're reading the Bible but do not realize anything, then we didn't understand what was in the Bible. To know is beyond the literal knowing, but also experiential learning, knowing, and fundamental understanding with depth. If you cannot gain insights from the word, then it is the same as not knowing the God's word. If you cannot know the will of God, then how can you sustainably do justice and righteousness? If we cannot know everything in the Bible by having one or two epiphanies, we need to study God's word continuously like the poet did and pray. When we do so, the Holy Spirit informs us and we can deep dive into the Bible. However, there are people unlike the poet and they stay away from the word of God. Let's look at verse 126. It is time for you to act, Lord. Your law is being broken. Who are these people? They are assailants in verse 121 and those of pride in verse 122. Psalm 119 testifies that the people of pride are those who have left the word of God. They have broken the word of God. The word broken means to destroy or nullify. Those who destroy the word of God as those who destroy justice and righteousness. They act unlawfully. The poet asks God to deal with these people as he sees fit. He also prays, "It is time for you to act, Lord," to mean, "Dear God, please deliver your sentence to those who destroy justice and righteousness." When will God work? God is always working and not resting, but the timing that the poet wants is now. Now is the time for God's righteousness and justice. There are many evidence for the poet's prayer throughout the Bible. One of them is Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 3. The end is now upon you, and I will unleash my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for all your detestable practices. God at work is to act upon his righteousness, delivering his sentence upon those who invalidate God's laws. The poet knows what God's work is, so he can't help but love God's word, Mishpat and Tzedek. So he confesses in verses 127 and 128. Because I love your commandments more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, I have every wrong path. To love God's statutes more than pure gold is to regard the word of God as the most precious. Nowadays, pure gold, 24K, is of higher value than a gold bar, or 12K or 18K. Considering that the poet lived in ancient times, pure gold was the highest valued asset. To confess that he loves the word of God more than pure gold is to say there's nothing that has higher value to him than the word of God. And to consider right in the phrase consider all your precepts right means that the poet will obey as always, and it expresses the poet's determination to act upon the word and follow through. Like so, the poet who considers the word of God as the highest value means that the poet acted upon the word of God in every circumstance and carried out justice and righteousness in everyday life. In all aspects of his life, he was acting justly and righteously, so hating an unlawful act was obvious. Then, as people who have been chosen and called by God, then how should we live in such an unrighteous world? We also need to act righteously and justly despite persecution and difficulties. If we live as so, even if there are assailants and proud people, God will be our guarantor and save us. Even if we believe this, then even if we are facing life or death situation, we should not spend all our effort on that and rather focus on what is of highest value. That is to know and learn the word of God, love the world, love the word, and act upon the word in every circumstance. Let's pray. Father God. Thank you for giving us the word of salvation through Jesus Christ and calling us to be righteous through our faith in Christ. Thank you for the grace of allowing us to act justly and righteously through God's Mishpat and Tzedek. However, there were times we did not act justly and righteously in this unlawful world. Please forgive us. From now on, may we now focus on things that prevent us from worshiping God in truth and the Spirit, keep our body to be holy, not tainting it, respect others' human rights by resembling God's merciful character, not take unlawful benefit from the weak, feed the hungry, give clothes to those in need, not ask according to pure economic reasoning, make good judgment for conflict by seeking God's justice, and keep the word to act justly and righteously. By doing so, may we receive God's reverence and blessings. Learn and know the word so that we can believe in God's mercy. And even if we see people who destroy the word of God, may we not lose hope and learn God's timing so that we regard the word as the highest value and carry out the word of God in all circumstances and abhor all false acts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.